To start the podcast, could you say a little about the radical changes which have taken place in university press activity in Australia over the last decade, as well as the events that led up to them?
Sure. It's something not just typical for Australia because, in fact, over the world, in the UK and the US, 1970s brought the reduction in higher education funding, which affected university presses and libraries. So what happened is that cuts in library budgets combined with the starting increase of journal subscriptions, they started a decline in purchasing of scholarly monographs. So not only the presses suffered in terms of lack of financial support from the university, but they also lost their customers. And in this way, they were forced to seek new sources of funding. What happened is that presses, you know, had to look for money, and they either turned to foundations or government agencies or private donors, or they turned to try and make money from other type of books like textbooks, professional or trade publishing, and this is what happened in Australia. So all got closed. So in Australia, there's four university presses managed to survive this evolution, and they basically turned into trade publishing houses, and they're doing really well. They're publishing fantastic books, and they became like cultural institutions even. And then the other presses, like Sydney University Press or ANU Press, they got closed down. And as I said before, this is not just symptomatic of Australia, but the same happened in the US and the UK. But the situation in Australia is specific because it's a very small market. There are only 39 universities with centralized libraries and very efficient in the library system. And what it means for researchers working on humanities and social sciences, especially those that focus on Australian studies, they find it really hard to find publishers.
And in broad terms, what are the presses trying to do? I mean, how do they differ from commercial scholarly publishers or traditional university presses?
The main difference is that they operate as non-for-profits, using, and also they use the innovative methodologies and cost-effective business models to disseminate scholarship. So what's most important for university presses is to make sure that important research gets published and is available to the general audience. In terms of operational processes, they pretty much dispense with traditional methods of mass printing, mass distribution, and mass marketing, which is typical of commercial or traditional university presses. We also tend to get world rights for all our books because our audiences are, you know, very specialized. We basically distribute to the world, so we don't have to worry about territorial rights. So this is, it's just a difference in operational priorities that are important for the presses.
And what resources go into supporting the e-presses? Are the startup costs extensive?
It depends. Yeah, that varies between different presses. It depends how much money a university can afford and what support, how important the press is for the university. All the presses in Australia, all the e-presses in Australia, the staff salaries are supported by the university, office space and IT support. Some presses get grants for development of the website, e-store, content management tools and publishing workflows. Obviously, we can buy InDesign and all the publishing softwares, you know, at educational prices, so that's not that expensive. And then presses tend to get grants for individual titles to cover some of the copy editing and layout costs. So this is, and then to be self-sufficient, we also try to be quite commercial in a way that we've got distribution contracts with Amazon.com, and we are looking at the Sydney Press, for example, we are looking at distribution in the UK. So we are also trying to make money on sales of books. So the more support from the university, the more books can be published open access. If this support from the university is not that great, then we need to be more commercial and try to make money on books, on sales of books. Also, on some services, for example, we offer distribution services to other publishers within the university and journals within also within the university. So it's a hybrid model, trying make sure that the system is self-supporting.
And it's am I right to say it's responding to gaps in traditional provision rather than trying to replicate traditional publishers?
It's going beyond traditional publishing. So, you know, traditional publishing is changing dramatically at the moment, and they are moving into ebooks and, you know, moving into social media and stuff like that. This is what we are trying to do, but I guess to a degree we are one step ahead because we are small and we are forced to innovate.
And how do the e-presses fit into the wider strategy and operations of the university?
That's, again, the difference between different universities. Most of the time, well, in three cases in Australia, they are part of library operations. So they fit within the digital innovation unit within the library. Scholarship, we are linked with research repository and work within this team, which fits really nicely and also helps us to make the most of the skills available within the university. So we are working together with the library, IT department and academics, and so we can get involved in interesting projects. And to a degree, we are not perceived, but we should be perceived as a marketing arm of the university, because all our work can be used to promote the scholarship at the university.
And position the university at the forefront of
fields. But yeah, absolutely.
You do publish work from scholars outside your university.
Yes.
Are there any issues involved in... Do any of the e-presses only publish stuff internally?
Any new e-press tends to publish mainly internal academics. I think they sort of... When I spoke last to the business manager there, that she said that there were a couple of titles from authors from outside, but they tend to publish their own academics. Another university press in Adelaide also publishes their own academics only. This is linked directly with funding. You know, once they decide to go fully open access, it's pretty much impossible for the university to rationalize, you know, covering publications of other academics from outside their own university. So, you know, I guess if the funding is available, then they are more open to publishing other academics as well. And it you know, every book is published with our logo, so it's still, you know, promoting Sydney University one way or the other.
And there's the risk that if you only publish stuff internally, you then be seen as a vanity press.
Absolutely. So, and this is not what we want to do, and it's not how we want to be perceived. So it's very important that, you know, even though, you know, we get money from academics for publishing our books, it's not that, you know, they give us money and we publish it regardless. Every book, we publish probably about 10% of the number of submissions that we get at the moment. And, you know, the books get peer-reviewed and, you know, so it's a pretty serious process before we say, okay, we can publish this. And because, you know, for publication, we need to get some contribution to cover the costs.
And how do the e-presses work on the day-to-day level of staffing and operations?
It varies. It's quite interesting, I was just, because we are talking about literally a handful of presses at the moment in Australia that operate in this way. And it varies depending on how they are structured to start with. So, for example, one of the presses is actually perceived more as a production unit than a press in a full meaning of the world, So they don't make editorial decisions. It's carried out by editorial boards. They basically get copy edited files, peer reviewed copy edited files, and then they convert them into different formats, you know, proofread and publish them. Sydney University Press, we are more commercial than the other press, and we do pretty much everything. We do the editorial, we make the editorial decisions. We carry out peer review. We do quite a bit of editorial work on books that need it, for some monographs, structural editing and so on. We outsource copy editing purely because we don't have enough staff in-house to do it. But then we do the layout. We have so-called cover design. We do all the marketing and distribution and so on. So it's quite a bit of work. They're quite stretched, but it's... This is how we operate. Now, all those places are very small, so it's a very... Hence, in one of those companies where you know, we've got three staff members and we literally have to do pretty much everything, you know, from copy editing to layout to social media.
Do you think there are advantages to keeping that kind of editorial process in-house?
Absolutely. Because it's very important. I think this is what will make a difference in terms of authors just putting stuff online without any editing. The quality really matters, and you can't have quality without internal control. So I'm quite supportive of using freelancers for some copy editing work. I think it's very important to retain control over the whole project in-house and make sure that it really copy edited and proof it to your standards.
And what do you believe the future holds for the e-presses?
I think the future is looking really good, especially in the recent climate of researchers really being interested in open access and actually actively fighting some of the commercial presses. At the moment, you know, with an even announcement in Harvard, libraries, even the richest universities, can no longer afford buying the journals at the prices that are offered by, you know, Elsevier and the likes. And obviously this has impact on monograph publishing. And I think it's very, you know, in some disciplines, monographs remain very important, obviously humanities and social sciences. And we basically are able, university e-presses are able to publish books at a high quality, in innovative way. They're able to get involved in new publishing programs that use, you know, IT skills, open system, open software, multimedia and everything, because we can get grants and we've got skills, we can get support and we can, you know, experiment without the pressure, commercial pressures. So I think the future is just the right moment for development of university presses. And it's also the most cost effective because we are not for profit. They're not interested in making money. We've got to be economical and cost effective and make the most of what we can in terms of, you know, make sure that the books are marketed and distributed. But we are not here to make money. We are here to communicate the cutting edge research and make sure that it's read all over the world.